the following is a prayer over the Blessed Sacrament that give praise to the Lord. I start from the very beginning. O blessed host, in whom is contained the testament of God's mercy for us, and especially for poor sinners. She sing towards the Blessed Sacrament. O blessed host, in whom is contained the body and blood of the Lord Jesus, as proof of infinite mercy for us, and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained life eternal and of infinite mercy, dispensed in abundance to us, and especially to poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the mercy of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit towards us, and especially towards the poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the infinite price of mercy, which will compensate for all our debts, and especially for those poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the fountain of living water, which springs from infinite mercy for us, and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the fire of purest love, which blazes forth from the bosom of the Eternal Father, as from an abyss of infinite mercy for us, and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the medicine for all our infirmities, flowing from infinite mercy, as from a font, for us, and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom is contained the union between God and us, through his infinite mercy for us, and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, in whom are contained all the sentiments of the most sweet heart of Jesus towards us, and especially for poor sinners. O blessed host, our only hope in all the sufferings and adversities of life. O blessed host, our only hope in the midst of darkness and of storms within and without. O blessed host, our only hope in life and at the hour of our death. O blessed host, our only hope in the midst of adversities and floods of despair. O blessed host, our only hope in the midst of falsehood and treason. O blessed host, our only hope in the midst of the darkness and godlessness which inundates the earth. O blessed host, our only hope in the longing and pain in which no one will understand us. O blessed host, our only hope in the toil and monotony of everyday life. O blessed host, our only hope amid the ruin of our hopes and endeavors. O blessed host, our only hope in the midst of the ravages of the enemy and the efforts of the hell. O blessed host, I trust in you when the burdens are beyond my strength and I find my efforts are fruitless. O blessed host, I trust in you when storms toss my heart about and my fearful spirit tends to despair. O blessed host, I trust in you when my heart is about to tremble and mortal sweat moistens my brow. O blessed host, I trust in you when everything conspires against me and black despair creeps into my soul. O blessed host, I trust in you when my eyes will begin to grow dim to all temporal things and for the first time my spirit will behold the unknown worlds. O blessed host, I trust in you when my tasks will be beyond my strength and adversity will become my daily lot. O blessed host, I trust in you when the practice of virtue will appear difficult for me and my nature will grow rebellious. O blessed host, I trust in you when hostile blows will be aimed against me. O blessed host, I trust in you when my toils and efforts will be misjudged by others. O blessed host, I trust in you when your judgments will resound over me. It is then that I will trust in the sea of your mercy. Most Holy Trinity, I trust in your infinite mercy. God is my Father, and so I, his child, have ever claimed to his divine heart. And the greater the darkness, the more complete our trust should be. I do not understand how it is possible not to trust in him who can do all things. With him, everything. Without him, nothing. He is Lord. He will not allow those who have placed all their trust in him to be put to shame. January 10, 1935, Thursday. In the evening, during benediction, such thoughts as these began to distress me. Is not perhaps all this that I am saying about God's great mercy just a lie or an illusion? And I wanted to think about this for a while, when I heard a strong and clear inner voice saying, "Everything that you say about my goodness is true." Language has no adequate expression to extol my goodness, the word of Jesus. These words were so filled with power and so clear that I would give my life in declaring they came from God. I can tell this by the profound peace that accompanied them at the time, and that still remains with me. This peace gives me such that strength and power that all difficulties, adversities, sufferings, and death itself are as nothing. This light gave me a glimpse of the truth that all my efforts to bring souls to know the mercy of the Lord are very pleasing to God. And from this springs such great joy in my soul that I do not know whether it could be any greater in heaven. Oh, if souls would only be willing to listen, at least a little, to the voice of conscience and the voice that is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So much peace if you really listen. The inner voice, the word of God, so much, you know, although we have so many temptations, just listen to the inner voice, the Holy Spirit. You will have peace. Many times we are disturbed because we just look for answers on all the phones, calling, crying. Stay. If you cannot be before the Blessed Sacrament, at least in the prayer room, the prayer corner, stay. Listen. Sorry. I say at least a little, because once we open ourselves to the influence of the Holy Spirit, he himself will fulfill what is lacking in us. New Year, 1935. Jesus likes to intervene in the smallest details of our life, and he often fulfills secret wishes of mine that I sometimes hide from him, although I know that from him nothing can be hidden. So it's really the will of God. Whatever you desire, you just see. God will give it to us. He knows us. He is our Father. God is our Father. So don't worry. You are not hidden. He knows. So whatever you don't have, not necessary. You are no good to your soul. Whatever you have, all beneficial for our soul. There's a custom among us of drawing by lot on New Year's Day special patrons on ourselves for the whole year. In the morning during meditation, there arose within me a secret desire that the Eucharistic Jesus be my special patron for this year also. as in the past. By hiding this desire from my beloved, I spoke to him about everything else but that. She didn't tell Jesus that he would be the Jesus in the sacrament in the Eucharist, that he's the patron. When we came to refectory for breakfast, we blessed ourselves and began drawing our patrons by knots. When I approached the holy cards on which the name of the patrons were written, without hesitation, I took one. But I didn't read the name immediately, as I wanted to modify myself for a few minutes. Suddenly, I heard a voice in my soul. I am your patron. Read. I looked at once at the inscription and read, Patron for the year 1935, the most blessed Eucharist. My heart leapt with joy, and I slipped quietly away from the sisters and went for a short visit before the Blessed Sacrament, where I poured out my heart. But Jesus sweetly admonished me that I should be at that moment together with the sisters. It's a time of committing time, not to the chapel prayer. There's a time for everything. Time for kitchen is kitchen. It's holy hour for you, right? Same holy. Not because you come to chapel, you're holier. More holy if you do the will of God, isn't it? I went immediately in obedience to the rule. Holy Trinity, one God, incomprehensible in the greatness of your mercy. For creatures, and especially for poor sinners, you have made known the abyss of your mercy. Incomprehensible and unfathomable as it is to any mind, whether of man or angel. Our nothingness and our misery are drowned in your greatness. O infinite goodness, who can be ever praised you sufficiently? Can there be found the soul that understands you in your love? O Jesus, there are such souls, but they are few, not too many, understand God's love for us, so much so. Very few. We don't believe very much that God loves you immensely. From morning to evening, from evening to the morning, you are really embraced in the love of God. We don't believe very much. In the head, not in the heart. You don't feel. You don't really walk with Jesus. Think with Jesus. That's like for sinner, no? Forever. Just too close. One day, during the morning meditation, I heard this word, this voice. I myself am your director. I was, I am, and I will be. And since you asked for visible help, I chose and gave you a director even before you had asked. For my work required this. Know that the faults you commit against me, him, would wound my heart. Be especially on your guard against self-willfulness. Even the smallest thing should bear the seal of obedience. Obedience means to follow the will of God strictly. The will of the Father in heaven. Each one of us. With a crushed and humbled heart, I beg forgiveness of Jesus for these faults. Also beg pardon of my spiritual director and resolve to do nothing rather than to do many things wrongly. Oh, good Jesus, thank you for the great grace of making known to me that I am of myself, misery and sin, and nothing more. I can do only one thing of myself, and that is to offend you. Oh God, because misery can do no more of itself than offend you, O infinite goodness. It's real humble. humility. Once I was asked to pray for a certain soul, I decided at once to make it a winner to the merciful Lord, to which I added a modification, namely that I would wear chains on both necks throughout Holy Mass. I had been doing this already for 3 days when I went to confession and told my spiritual director that I had undertaken this modification, presuming permission to do so. I thought he would not object, but I heard the contrary, that is, that I should do nothing without permission. Oh my Jesus! So it was willfulness again. But my faults do not discourage me. I know very well that I'm misery. Because of the condition of my health, I didn't receive this permission. And my spiritual director was surprised that I had been allowing myself greater modifications without his permission. I asked pardon of my self-willfulness, or rather for having presumed permission. And I asked him to change this modification for another one. My spiritual director replaced it with an interior modification, namely, throughout Holy Mass, I was to meditate on why the Lord Jesus had submitted to being baptized. The meditation was no modification for me. The thinking about God is a delight and not a modification. But there was a modification of the will in that I was not doing simply what I like. That is modification, not to do what you want. More modification than you put a chain on your leg. But what I was told to do, and it is in this that the interior modification consists, obedience. First, obedience to the will of God. When I left the confessional and I started to recite my penance, I heard these words. I have granted the grace you asked for on behalf of that soul, but not because of the modification you chose for yourself. It's already given, the grace. Not because of the modification, because this is not the will of God for her. So even you do many, many things, stupid things or very heavy things, if you're not the will of God, it was nothing. Rather, it was because of your act of complete obedience to my representative that I grant this grace to that soul for whom you intercede and beg mercy. You see, because of her obedience, it's more mortification. Know that when you modify your own self-will, then mine reigns within you. If not my will, our will, it's his will. Oh my Jesus, be patient with me. I will be more careful in the future. I will rely not upon myself, but upon your grace and your very great goodness to miserable me. On one occasion, Jesus gave me to know that when I pray for intentions which people want to entrust to me, he's always ready to grant this grace, but souls do not always want to accept it. Jesus says, my heart overflows with great mercy for souls, and especially for poor sinners. If only they could understand that I am the best of fathers to them, and that it is for them that the blood and the water flowed from my heart as from a font overflowing with mercy. For them I dwell in the tabernacle as King of Mercy. I desire to bestow my graces upon souls, but they do not want to accept them. You at least come to me as often as possible and take these graces that they do not want to accept. In this way, You will console to my heart. So whatever the gifts Jesus is giving out, nobody takes. You come and take it. Don't waste it. When gift is given, we will not return. So take, Jesus tell her. Take the opportunity. Many people doesn't take my grace. You too. Take advantage of the grace of Jesus. If too many people, they don't want Jesus' grace, ask, Jesus, I'm here. Open your arm. Let the grace come to you. Oh, how indifferent are souls to so much goodness, to so many proofs of love. My heart shrinks only of the ingratitude and forgetfulness of souls living in the world. People forget, you remind, you remember. They have time for everything, but they have no time to come to me for graces. So many graces given. Flooded with graces. Can you see that? Can you feel that? Open your arm and tell Jesus, I'm here. Don't waste your grace. So I turn to you. Words of Jesus. Huh? So I turn to you. You, chosen souls, will you also fail to understand the love of my heart? That's you. There's another you. And the first you is Faustina. Another you, chosen souls, if you feel yourself being chosen. Oh no. Yes? You feel yourself chosen? Sure. Chosen by the Lord, right? Open. Here too, my heart finds disappointment. I do not find complete surrender to my love. So many reservations, so much distrust, so much caution. To comfort you, let me tell you that there are souls living in the world who love me dearly. I dwell in their hearts with delights. The more you love Jesus, the really Jesus lives in you. We hesitate, there's a problem. We don't trust very much. Jesus is so ready, and we are not always ready. But there are few. In commons, too, there are souls that fill my heart with joy. They bear my features, therefore the Heavenly Father looks upon them with special pleasure. They will be a marvel to angels and men. According to those sisters live in the convent. Their numbers is very small. They are a defense of the world before the justice of Heavenly Father, and a means obtaining mercy for the world. The love and sacrifice of these souls sustain the world in existence. The infidelity of a soul especially chosen by me wounds my heart most painfully. Such infidelities are sought would peace my heart. So especially for us priests and nuns. So the little things that we don't love hurt Jesus more than anyone else. Jesus, pure love. With no love, he cannot enter into a place where there is no love. So purify ourselves always by sacraments. Make ourselves always ready and open. That's very important. It is yearning to come to us. We are not alone. January 29th, 1935. This Tuesday morning, during meditation, I had an interior vision of the Holy Father saying Mass in Rome. After the Paternoster, the Lord our Father, he talked to Jesus about the matter which Jesus had ordered me to tell him about the Divine Mercy. Jesus also told the Pope about this message about Divine Mercy. Although I had not spoken to the Holy Father personally, this matter was taken care of by someone else. Quote, Father Sopoko. At this moment, however, I knew by intuitive knowledge that the Holy Father was considering this matter, which will soon come to pass in accordance with the desire of Jesus. Before the 8-day retreat, I went to my spiritual director and asked him for certain modifications for the time of the retreat. Always asking for modification. We also ask the time to relax ourselves, and she asks all of this all the time, modification. However, I did not receive permission for everything I asked for some things only. I received permission for 1 hour of meditation on the Passion of Christ and for a certain humiliation. But I was little dissatisfied at not receiving permission for everything I had asked. She was upset. When we returned home, I dropped into the chapel for a moment, and then I heard this voice in my soul. There is more merit to 1 hour of meditation on my sorrowful passion than there is to a whole year of flagellation that draws blood. The contemplation of my painful wounds is of great profit to you, and it brings my great joy. I'm surprised that you still have not completely renounced your self-will. But I rejoice exceedingly that this change will be accomplished during the retreat. She's really have to learn. Obedience. Not to do her own will, but the will of the Father through the spiritual director. So let's thank the Lord that we have the chance to meditate.